Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 141. The inhabitants of Vaitalika Loka said, Dear Lord, because of chanting your spotless glories in great assemblies and arenas of sacrifice, we were accustomed to great respect from everyone. This demon, however, usurped that position. Now, to our great fortune, you have killed this great demon exactly as one cures a chronic disease. Does it mention who the Vaitalikas are?
No.
The Kanaras said, O Supreme Controller, we are ever existing servants of your lordship. But instead of rendering service to you, we were engaged by this demon in his service, constantly and without remuneration. This sinful man has now been killed by you. Therefore, O Lord Nrsingadev, our master, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please continue to be our patron. The associates of Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha offered this prayer. O Lord, our supreme giver of shelter, today we have seen your wonderful form as Lord Nrsingadev, meant for the good fortune of all the world. O Lord, we can understand that Hiranyakashipu was the same Jaya who engaged in your service but was cursed by Brahmanas and who thus received the body of a demon. We understand that his having now been killed is your special mercy upon him. Okay. Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies Lord Nrsingadev with prayers. Pratigya. The advancement in materialistic measures can never counteract the miseries of conditional life. So it's important to understand, no matter how well you arrange things materially, it won't actually counteract the problems. All it is, it will shift them. This probably gives the example. You have a boil on your right knee, you move it to your left knee. Right? It's not on your right knee anymore, so that's great, but now it's on your left knee. So whatever it is, it's always a problem. Right? Does that make sense? So anything you think, this will cure my problem, may get rid of one thing, but it'll create another. So you always have the same amount of trouble. Does that make sense? That won't change. Yes?
And why would feel it different?
Because it's on the left knee now instead of on the right. Just like, let's say, the person doesn't have any money, they don't even have to lock their door, there's nothing to worry about, right? But now they have money, now they have to lock the door, they always have to worry about everybody, then they have even more money, then they're even doubtful whether everybody, all their friends and relatives actually have affection for them or it's only because of their money. So, you know, they don't have the problem when they want to buy something or get somewhere or go somewhere. That problem's gone away. But now it's manifest as a different one. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point. The problem will always be there. You know, you're sitting on land and that, you're getting bored. Hey, let's go on a world cruise. So now you're not bored, but you're seasick. Right? You know, so some problem's always going to be there. You know? Does that make sense? It doesn't go away. We just shift it to something else. That's the whole point. I mean, we say right knee to left knee, we think, okay, well, that's ludicrous. But that's all we're doing. We're just shifting from one place to another. Something that's secure becomes insecure by our solving the last problem. That one becomes secure, but the next one becomes insecure. You know, it's like, musical chairs. Right? There's always something that's left out. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So even you get rid of that problem, you still get rid of a chair, right? Mm-hmm. So still there's one. Yeah. No? Yeah. Chapter 9 summarizes questions and answers. The rhetorical questions uttered by Prahlad Maharaj in verses 8, 16, 21, 25, 26, 28, 39, 42, and 50 do not come onto this study. So a lot of, I think this is the most rhetorical questions in any chapter so far. Right? Adhyaya Prakashika. As related in this chapter, Prahlad Maharaj, following the order of Lord Brahma, pacified the Lord when the Lord was extremely angry after having killed Hiranyakashipu. After Hiranyakashipu was killed, the Lord continued to be very angry, and the demigods headed by Lord Brahma could not pacify him. Even Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, the constant companion of Narayana, could not dare come before Lord Nrisimhadev. When Lord Brahma asked Prahlad Maharaj to go forward and pacify the Lord's anger, Prahlad Maharaj, being confident of the affection of his master, Lord Nrisimhadev, was not afraid at all. He very gravely appeared before the Lord's lotus feet and offered him respectful obeisances. Lord Nrisimhadev, being very much affectionate towards Prahlad Maharaj, put his hand on Prahlad's head, and because of being personally touched by the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj immediately achieved Brahma-jnana, spiritual knowledge. Thus he offered his prayers to the Lord in full spiritual knowledge and full devotional ecstasy. The instructions given by Prahlad Maharaj in the form of his prayers are as follows. Prahlad said, I am not proud of being able to offer prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I simply take shelter of the mercy of the Lord, for without devotion one cannot appease him. Right, the ability to offer prayers is not the actual point. The point is the devotion. And that's by Krishna's grace. One cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead simply by dint of high parentage or good opulence, learning, austerity, penance, or mystic power. Doesn't mean you can't apply these, but simply by these it's not. There has to be devotion, otherwise there's no meaning. You know, it'd be just like, doesn't matter what preparation you cook, how wonderful it is, how elaborate, how, you know, amazingly it's been prepared and how long it takes and how difficult are the ingredients. If there's no salt in it, there's no flavor. So that's the whole point, is that no matter what you do, no matter what wonderfulness is there, if it doesn't have devotion, it won't please the Lord. That's the principle. Indeed, these are never pleasing to the Supreme Lord, for nothing can please him but pure devotional service. Even if a non-devotee is a Brahmin qualified with the 12 Brahminical symptoms, he cannot be very dear to the Lord. Whereas if a person born in a family of dog-eaters is a devotee, the Lord can accept his prayers. So it's not that, oh, then better to be born in dog-eaters. No, it's better to be devotional. Because it doesn't say dog-eaters please the Lord either. You know what I'm saying? Because if we reject that, oh, having all these good qualities and all these recommended things aren't what pleases the Lord, so we don't need them. And see here, the dog eater is pleasing the Lord. But in rejecting all the good things that is there in a good birth, the things there in a bad birth are also rejected. So then what's left with is only the devotion pleases the Lord. Does that make sense? Right? Why are we bringing this up? Because many times when we see something seemingly rejected, then we take it as it's rejection and then give an alternative. But as Krishna pointed out, the alternatives are to be rejected also. The Lord does not need anyone's prayers, but if a devotee offers his prayers to the Lord, the devotee benefits greatly. Ignorant persons born in low families, therefore, can sincerely offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord, and the Lord will accept them. As soon as one offers his prayers to the Lord, he is immediately situated on the Brahma platform, Brahman platform. That means the transcendental platform. it doesn't mean you merge into Brahman. You start saying your prayers, and then, you know, you're sitting there, and all the devotees are there, darshan, and then you see one of disappears, and so, wow, successful prayers. When will my prayers be so successful? Like that. You know, you see the devotee, you think, oh, hey, I want to ask you a question, and doop, he disappears. You know, yeah, just that. Same time, if I'd gotten there, would he have, you know, merged? You know? So, yes, so that's not the point. It means you come to the transcendental platform. Lord Nrisimhadev appeared for the benefit of all human society, not only for Prahlad's personal benefit. The fierce form of Lord Nrisimhadev may appear most awful to a non-devotee, but to the devotee the Lord is always affectionate, as he is in other forms. Conditioned life in the material world is actually extremely fearful. Indeed, a devotee is not afraid of anything else. For fear of material existence is due to false ego. Therefore, the ultimate goal of life for every living entity is to attain the position of being servant of the servant of the Lord. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila 13:18-80. Okay, so conditioned life is extremely fearful. So the devotee is not afraid of anything else. He's only afraid of being conditioned, right? But the fear that one has in conditioned existence, that the devotee doesn't have. Right? So we have to know what it means by his fear. It's not the fears that the materialist feels. It's the fear of being in that consciousness. So in other words, he's afraid of being in that consciousness. But those who are in that consciousness, they're fearful of everything. Right? So therefore the devotee, by being absorbed in the Lord, he becomes fearless. Is that what you mean? The miserable condition of the living entities in the material world can be remedied only by the mercy of the Lord. Although there are so-called material protectors like Lord Brahma and other demigods, or even one's own father, they are unable to do anything if one is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one who has fully taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet can be saved from the onslaught of material nature. Therefore, every living entity should be unattracted by material so-called happiness and should take shelter of the Lord by all means. That is the mission of human life. Right, so the concept, when you come to that position where you see everything for Krishna, there is nothing mundane, so there is no material world. You know what I'm saying? So material consciousness, that's something to worry about. But the material world isn't, because it's still all Krishna's energy. It's still all controlled by Krishna. And Krishna being the well-wisher, the devotee, things will be taken care of. You know, we may appreciate it or not, just like the child, they would rather play than eat or go to bed. So if the parent is trying to put them into bed or get them to eat, that doesn't mean that the parent doesn't like them. But the child may be thinking, you know, why is mommy doing this to me? So in the same way, why is this happening to me? I'm serving Krishna, why does he allow these things to happen? Because there's something higher that we're supposed to be able to move into, and we're not, because of the impurities caused by a particular attachment. So that's being removed. And so in the process of being removed, we feel this is not nice. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If the devotee is concerned, he doesn't want to lose the primary, but whatever happens with the secondary, he's not concerned at all?
Not concerned, because in that way he's not afraid of the material energy. He's not afraid what the material energy will do. He's afraid of not being Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? Well, the materialist is not worried about Krishna consciousness and afraid of everything in the material world. To be attracted by sense gratification is simply foolish. Whether one is a devotee of the Lord or is a non-devotee does not depend upon one's birth in a high or low family. Even Lord Brahma and the Goddess of Fortune cannot achieve the full favor of the Lord, whereas a devotee can very easily attain such devotional service. The Lord's mercy is bestowed equally upon everyone, regardless of whether one is high or low. Right? So it's not because he's born as Brahma or she appears as Lakshmi that they have the favor of the Lord. It's because of their devotion. You understand? Because otherwise they say, oh no, they're in a better birth, so that's why they can do so much nice service. No, it has nothing to do with that. Anyone in any position can take up pure devotional service to the Lord. That's what makes it dear. So it's not because he's Brahma or because she's Lakshmi. That's what makes them, right? It's because of their devotion that they, like everybody else, can please the Lord. Does that make sense? That's the point. It doesn't mean, oh, I'll be in a better position than Lakshmi or Brahma. No, it means that by my position, then I'm not disqualified from becoming a devotee. And it's not because of their position that that's the qualification for being a devotee. Right? But also they're not disqualified either. Right? You know. Because Prahlad Maharaj was blessed by Narad Muni, Prahlad became a great devotee. The Lord always saves the devotee from impersonalists and voidists. The Lord is present in everyone's heart as the super soul, saves from impersonalists and voidists. Right? So those who don't properly understand or misuse, you know, the Lord's knowledge and creation. The Lord is present in everyone's heart as the Supersoul to give the living being protection and all benefits. Thus the Lord acts sometimes as the killer and sometimes as the protector. One should not accuse the Lord for any discrepancies. It is His plan that we see varieties of life within this material world. All of them are ultimately His mercy. Although the entire cosmic manifestation is non-different, the material world is nonetheless different from the spiritual world. Right, because it's all Krishna, so it's non-different. It's all his expansion. But at the same time, we do make a distinction between the material world and the spiritual world because of the consciousness. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord can one understand how the wonderful material nature acts. For example, although Lord Brahma appeared from the lotus seat that had grown from the abdomen of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he could not understand what to do after his appearance. He was attacked by two demons, Madhu and Kaitava, who took away Vedic knowledge. But the Lord killed them and entrusted to Lord Brahma the Vedic knowledge. Thus the Lord appears in every millennium in the societies of demigods, human beings, animals, saints, and aquatics. All such incarnations are meant to protect the devotees and kill the demons. But this killing and protecting does not reflect any sense of partiality on the part of the Supreme Lord. The conditioned soul is always attracted by the external energy. Therefore, he is subjected to lust and greed. And he suffers under the conditions of material nature. The Lord's causeless mercy towards his devotee is the only means by which to get out of material existence. Anyone engaged in glorifying the Lord's activities is always unafraid of the material world. Whereas one who cannot glorify the Lord in that way is subjected to all lamentation. Right, so the devotee who's always absorbed in the Lord is never affected by lamentation. Though those who are not, then they're affected by all lamentation. Okay. Those interested in silently worshipping the Lord in solitary places may be eligible for liberation themselves, but a pure devotee is always aggrieved to see others suffering. Therefore, not caring for his own liberation, he always engages in preaching by glorifying the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, because otherwise we might find that in preaching sometimes the lifestyle isn't as ideal as we'd like. You know, things aren't as regular and, you know, exact as we like. And we may feel that I won't get as much benefit. But the point is by preaching you please the Lord. It's by His mercy we get to the transcendental platform. So, you know, because it's recommended to have a proper, you know, lifestyle and sadhana, we do that. But at the same time, also the preaching is there. So then for preaching, it may be that the lifestyle isn't so ideal. But, we get the Lord's mercy for that. So, yeah. Therefore, not caring for his own liberation, he always engaged in preaching by glorifying the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, had tried to deliver his class friends by preaching and had never remained silent. Although being silent, observing austerities and penances, learning the Vedic literature, undergoing ritualistic ceremonies, living in a solitary place and performing japa and transcendental meditation are approved means of liberation. They are meant for non-devotees as for cheaters who want to live at the expense of others. A pure devotee, however, being freed from all such deceptive activities, is able to see the Lord face to face, right? So that doesn't mean that then from here we reject all these things, right? Performing japa, like that. It means that it's about performing these for our own benefit. That's rejected. That's cheating. Right? But doing these things connected to Krishna, then it has some meaning. Right? But because it's pleasing Krishna, these will be adjusted with pleasing Krishna. Right? Not pleasing Krishna will be adjusted with these. Right? So, the atomic theory of the composition of the cosmic manifestation is not factual. The Lord is the cause of everything, right? So the atomic theory there meaning that there are atoms and everything goes back to atoms, but where do the atoms come from? That's the question. So that goes back to the Lord. So saying that the atoms are the origin, that's not correct. That's what it means. But it doesn't mean that there's not atoms and that that whatever's here, it's in, you know, a particular form like the house, and then it will go back into earth. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. One should therefore always engage in devotional service by offering respectful obeisances to the Lord, offering prayers, working for the Lord, worshipping the Lord in the temple, always remembering the Lord, and always hearing about his transcendental activities. Without these six kinds of activity, one cannot attain to devotional service. Right? So, it's not the principle of the atomic theory is only used to for us to give up our attachment to the material world that gets in the way of devotional service. Right? If you think everything's just atoms, then whatever it is that we think is so valuable in the material platform suddenly becomes less valuable. Right? Because it's just atoms. It just happens to be in this form temporarily. So we can give that up. And then, what's the effect of that? Then we can engage in these six that's mentioned here. Okay, obeisances, prayers, working for the Lord, worshipping the Lord in the temple, always remembering the Lord and always hearing about his transcendental activities. Prahlad Maharaj thus offered his prayers to the Supreme Lord, begging his mercy as at every step. Lord Nrisimhadev was pacified by Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and wanted to give him benedictions, by which Prahlad could procure all kinds of material facilities. Prahlad Maharaj, however, was not misled by material facilities. Rather, he wanted to remain always a servant of the servant of the Lord. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 1380. So that's the point. He's not distracted by these things. They come on their own accord. He'll use them in Krishna's service, but it's not that he has an interest in acquiring them. Right? The interest is just being always absorbed in the Lord. That's what we want. If that's there, then everything goes nicely. And if that's not there, then there'll be problem. Right? Shloka Anusharanam. Summary of verses. Verses 1 to 12. Lord Brahma urges Prahlad Maharaj to pacify the Lord. 13 to 50. Prahlad Maharaj requests the Lord to give up his anger. 51 to 55. Lord Nrisimha offers Prahlad Maharaj any benediction. Verses 1 to 12. Lord Brahma urges Prahlad Maharaj to pacify the Lord. The great sage Narad Muni continued, the demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other great demigods dared not come forward before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry. Srila Prabhupada cometh. Srila Narottam Das Thakur is sung in his Prema Bhakti Chandrika, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Anger should be used to punish a demon who is envious of devotees. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, and envy, all have their proper use for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee. Narad Muni continued, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present. who, because of fear, could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though she had seen Nrisimhadeva in a previous kalpa, and though Nrisimhadeva is always present in Vaikuntha, her impression of not having previously seen or heard about this form was produced by the Leela Shakti, in order to make everyone taste Adbhuta Rasa, the mood of astonishment. Yes.
Can we conclude from this that this particular form of half man, half lion is eternal, but sometimes it's visible and sometimes not?
Yes. Because in Vaikuntha, then they'll always have the four armed Vishnu form.
No.
Yeah, but the mood will be of that particular deity. So the 24 Vishnu Murtis, they all have a particular flavor, though they're all in the Vishnu form and like that. But in the material world, then that's where you'll see is then Nrisimha will take on this form. So she's seen before, so technically she shouldn't be afraid, but because of the Leela Shakti, then she also is like she's never seen before. Because the mood has to be of adbhuta, of astonishment. You know, it's a secondary rasa. But that's the mood that's going on. That's what's being tasted. So therefore. Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, "My dear son, Lord Nrisimhadeva is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord." Narad Muni continued, "O king, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded towards Lord Nrisimhadeva and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands. When Lord Nrisimhadeva saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection towards his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all his devotees. By the touch of Lord Nrisimhadeva's hands on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart." Srila Prabhupada comments. Although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a demoniac family, and although virtually demoniac blood flowed within his body, he was cleansed of all the material bodily contamination because of his exalted position as a devotee. In other words, such impediments on the spiritual path could not stop him from progressing, for he was directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are physically and mentally contaminated by atheism cannot be situated on the transcendental platform, but as soon as one is freed from material contamination, he is immediately fit to be situated in devotional service. Right? So one's progress is by the mercy of the Lord. So we see here we got the Prahlad Maharaj got the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, he was able to function in this way. He came to that transcendental platform. Right? But now, from that, he's purified both, because Prabhupada mentions the attitude, but that was already pure, but also the physical condition. So the particular situation born in, it comes with a physical condition. And that is because of certain impurities. Right? That's why we had a particular, you know, situation in the material world, is because of those material contaminations. Right? Nice contaminations were on higher platform. Less nice contaminations on lower platform. But they're contaminations in any case. So, by the Lord's mercy, by Krishna consciousness, the impurities of that are removed. It doesn't mean that, you know, physically will change features. It just means the impurities that may have been the cause of that form are now removed. So now there'll be no impediments coming from that aspect. Right? So on the mental, the subtle body and the gross body being purified, now we can engage the senses and the mind, intelligence, ego, in Krishna's service. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point that was from before. It doesn't matter what one's background, by coming in contact with devotional service, that brings us to the transcendental platform. Yeah.
Can I ask you, not a point we hear very often, the physical contamination of atheism or something like that.
Well, otherwise, why do we have the particular form we have? You know what I'm saying? It comes from a mentality. This is just that, so it carries that. It, in other words, the physical form we have is the perfect medium for whatever that nonsensical consciousness we have. Right? It matches very well. So now it gets purified, so now we can engage that same form in Krishna service. But it's not that it will start changing. So, you know, start becoming more and more pious. So one day when your mother comes and wakes you up, then, you know, this kid sits up and he's got four heads and stuff like that, sitting on a lotus and kind of like, what? Yeah, no, it's not brought up very often. Why? The point's brought up means it's true, but it won't be brought up very often. Why not? If Prabhupada regularly brought this up, what would happen? We would get on the bodily concept, oh, I'm from this, oh, I can't be this, I'm so useless, I'm, you know, just like... So, he brings things up, but only how much is necessary to make the point, and that's it. And things that are more... In other words, it's a point, but it's not an important point. So it's been mentioned once, right? But then after that, then what you're supposed to do and what you can... So taking up devotional service, it doesn't matter your birth, you can take up devotional... That's repeated again and again, so we understand that's the actual subject matter. Yeah. This just happens to be a fact.
Don't dwell on it.
No, you don't dwell on it. So those things that Prabhupada brings up once are a fact. We tend to, oh, he doesn't repeat it, therefore we can drop it. Mm-hmm. You know, Prabhupada said this to this particular devotee. Oh, but that's not important. No, it's important, but if it hasn't been repeated to others, then it's not something that needs to be made prominent. Is that... Narad Muni continued, Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Jashingadev with full attention, in complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers and love with a faltering voice. Srila Prabhupada comments, the word Shushama Hita means very attentive or fully fixed. The ability to fix the mind in this way is a result of yoga siddhi, mystic perfection. As is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1, Jnana vastita tad gatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. One attains yogic perfection when he is freed from all material diversions and his mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. This is called samadhi or trance. So that's what we mean before, is that by yoga, that's not going to please the Lord. But it's not that yoga is not used to please the Lord. But it has to be for pleasing the Lord. So when yoga is for fixing one's mind on the Lord, then the Lord becomes pleased. But if it's simply for health, or getting mystic cities, or like Hiranyakashipu, just to get material power and sense gratification, that does not please the Lord. So, Prahlad Maharaj attained that stage beyond the senses. Because he was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated. And naturally, his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. In that condition, he began to offer his prayers as follows. So when he says, beyond the senses, that doesn't mean he wasn't using the senses, as the jnanis would think. No, he's beyond the senses means he's not using the senses for sense gratification. He's only using them for engagement in transcendental activities. Yeah. We're not on Vedanta Sutras for now.
Right.
No. I'm just saying is the story is that he falls asleep, and then when it's the what do you call it? when it's, you know, technical, analytical, then he's awake. You know. So this was meant for what's night for what's night for the introspective academic is day for the yeah. That's funny, because most of you, when you get to the stories, they all wake up. And then when we get into, you know, all the technical stuff, you know, second canto, and then they all fall asleep. That's funny. Okay. Prahlad Mars prayed. How is it possible for me, who has been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. Then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, O remarkable Lord, it is hard to understand what quality you see in me that you are so merciful. Possessing sattva is not the cause of your mercy. Then what to speak of a person possessing tamas? Right? So the demigods, they're situated in goodness, right? And they're offering all their prayers from, you know, practical knowledge and everything like this. But that's not pleasing the Lord. That's not satisfying the Lord. It's not that he's rejecting it, it's just not satisfying. Because it's being offered from that position of goodness. It's just knowledge. But as we saw, they were all saying very nice facts about the Lord and his position. But no one was talking about the devotion. Right? So in Prahlada Maharaj, we see when he offers prayers, it's about devotional service. That will satisfy the Lord. Does that make sense? So again, the point is before. Having that position in goodness won't satisfy the Lord. Using that in Krishna consciousness, that will.
Yes. So the prayers that have been offered, you know, by the other devotees, they do not fall in the category of vandanam, which Prahlada Maharaj did mention.
No, they're vandanam. It's just a matter of that, you know, when you put the form is proper, it's just a matter of the devotion. We're not saying that Brahma and Shiva and them don't have devotion, but we're just saying is that the prominence in Prahlada Maharaj is on the aspect of pure devotion. As you see in his prayers, that's what he's talking about. Well, they're talking about him as the supreme controller, making everything. He's killed Hiranyakashipu, he set things back in order, things were out of the universal order, which is given by him, and now he's put it back into that order. So it's his pastime, you know, that the demon comes up and makes things a mess, and now by his pastime he corrects all that. And so these are all true. But it's a matter of what's the relationship between Brahma and Shiva, Brahma and the Lord, Shiva and the Lord, the, you know, the, what do you call it, the Yakshas and the Lord, and like this. Well, Prahlada Maharaj will be pointing that out. What's the relationship? So that's why these are better.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, the previous prayers, they're dealing with the Lord more on the Paramatma level.
Yes, more as Paramatma. Because the demigods are part and parcel of the Lord as Paramatma. They're limbs of Paramatma, or the universal form. Right? So, but and that is an expansion of Bhagavan. So in that way, then they're connected with the you know, personality of Godhead. But they're working on their main connection is on that down, how he creates, maintains, and destroys. So Brahma's creating, Shiva's destroying, all the other demigods are helping with the maintenance. Does that make sense? Like that. The devatas' and sages' minds are completely immersed in sattvic and dharma, jnana and austerity. We are immersed in adharma, ajnana, and material enjoyment. And simply praising you is not a cause of your mercy. Right? So he's pointing out is he's in a position that doesn't have all these good material, position. Well, all these great sages and demigods, they are. But they've offered prayers, and the Lord's not satisfied. So what does that mean? It means the prayers themselves are living in that lifestyle is not what pleases the Lord. That's just being pointed out. It's not that that's not used as the medium. Right? You know, it's just like, let's say, someone cooks a preparation, and then afterwards we ask, oh, who cooked this? Do we say, oh, the Jamie Oliver pot cooked that? Right? That would be correct? No. So that's the point, is that there, that's the medium that one must use, but it's not that that is the thing. Right? So if we say, oh, see, the pot's not the cooking, so we don't need the pot, that would be foolish. Right? So the point is the pot without the cooking has no meaning. Right? But cooking is manifest with the pot. That's why the secondary is there. But we make the point is that if you think the secondary has value without the Lord, that's rejected. Then we make, then because of impersonalism, we make the mistake, oh, therefore we reject the activity. But because we can't not do activity, and we're not going to sit down in front of a wall and stare at it for 7 hours a day, therefore, then we're just going to replace it with alternative, non-recommended activities. Does that make sense? Because of impersonalism. Well, voidism, if we want to be also fair, we should, you know, be all-inclusive. I mean, we shouldn't be strict. Right? So that's the problem. So the point is, no, the two go together, but the point is, how will you see the primary unless it's manifest through application of the secondary? Right? So it's independent, but you'll only appreciate it if the secondary is there. But the secondary has no meaning without connection to the primary. Right? If a generator is just sitting there, we know it's a generator, but how do we appreciate it? When it manifests electricity. Right? But electricity has zero meaning if it's not connected to the generator. You have this big long line and it's full of electricity, but disconnect the end connected to the the generator, and there is no electricity. So that's the thing, the two go together. That's the masculine and the feminine principle. You can't remove them, but they have their natures. That's what has to be said. So whenever it mentions that these things are qualifications, or these things, same exact list, these things are not qualifications. Right? Like in Gita, Krishna says, you know, the humility, having knowledge, living in a solitary place, doing all these, this is knowledge, everything else is ignorance. And then Prahlad Maharaj here is saying, this all is, you know, useless. So what's the meaning? If it's not connected to the Lord, it's useless. If it's connected to the Lord, that's the recommended secondary form. Right? So this is where the hard part comes, is that how is it one, how is the other? Why is that? Because of impersonalism. Because of impersonalism, then activity means material. If I give up material, I give up activity. Rather than, no, activity is supposed to be spiritual, but if I don't do it for spiritual purposes, then the activity is material. So, yes, giving up material activity is good, but that doesn't mean we give up spiritual activity. Like that. So this is where we get confused.
Yeah? In Tattva, is the primary masculine and the secondary feminine?
Yes. Yes. Because the point is, the masculine, Krishna is independent. His energies are not. But he includes his energies. Prabhupada says, when Krishna appears, he appears through what? His internal potency. So because of that arrangement, we see him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, how can you see unlimited? Right? But at the same time, it's because that energy and him are non-different, therefore his form of Shyamasundar is the original form. And his unlimited aspect is just a feature. Right? But still, it's him with the internal potency that we see that form. So now, if we see him and everything connected to him, in connection with him for his satisfaction, then we're seeing the spiritual in the internal potency. But if we're seeing him and his paraphernalia and associates and their activities and results not in connection with his satisfaction, then we're looking at the external energy. Mm-hmm. Not that they are affected by that, but that's what Ravana, he walks off with Maya Sita. He doesn't walk off with internal potency Sita. Mm-hmm.
you know, but the form doesn't change, but it's just he's somebody's life. Yeah. You know, and there, and atheists and others, they think, you know, in the arena at Mathura, many thought that Krishna was, you know, just some incompetent children, Krishna and Balaram. Like that. Jarasandha sees him as his enemy, he killed all his sons-in-law. Mm-hmm. Or his son-in-law. He had all the daughters, right? Like that. You know, so like that. So he sees him in a mundane light. It's not that he is. He's unaffected. It's like the sun. And so then clouds are there. So it appears there's no sun. But it's a cloud. It's the sun's always there. Just our vision, we can't see beyond the clouds. That's why it said in the pure heart, it's clear. There's no clouds. When the dust is not on the mirror, then you can see. Like that. Is that?
Yeah.
Maharaj? Yes.
In the Zen school.
In the advanced school.
Zen. The Buddhist Zen.
Zen school. Yeah. Zen.
They also say that. Water.
Okay. Zen. It's like a cross between the E and the A.
Yeah.
There's a word, something like. Gege? Gaga? Gaga? Gege? Means like brother.
Gugu.
Gugu. Yeah. Can never get it because they use the letter E, but it's pronounced like an A. Right?
Yeah,
So then Zen had E, but he said it like an A. Okay, no, go ahead. Yeah. This is total side point.
Yeah, Zen is a Japanese word, actually. It's,
okay.
Yeah. So it says that carrying the Tao is in the carrying water, carrying water and carrying wood.
The Tao is in carrying water
and wood.
And wood.
Yeah. So means in the action, the Tao is inside the action.
Yes.
So that means you also know that spiritual is inside in action.
Yes, yeah. But they only know as far as the impersonal aspect. Right? In other words, there's a form, but there's no form. Right? There's a door, you know, going through the door of no door. Right?
Yeah, so that means they appreciate the action aspect. You know, as the
But the whole point is to come to the impersonal understanding. So, we're using the same technique, but we know that position of Brahman is coming from Krishna. So that same aspect of doing the work without attachment, that remains. But we know we're trying to do that to please Krishna. So now if I'm just trying to do the work without attachment, it becomes very hard, because why should I do the work? Right? But if I am doing the work to please Krishna, then it's very natural to one, do the work, and two, to be detached, right? Because I do the work because I want the result. I'm attached. I don't want the result, I don't do the work. Right? So I can get one or the other. But to get both, that means I have to, I do the work with detachment. I get both karma and jnana, the benefits, by trying to please Krishna. Does that make sense? So in devotional service, understanding the Tao is so much easier because it's just part of our system, but it's not a goal for us. It's not the final goal. It's just that stage of coming to the liberated platform, it just naturally comes. Right? So we don't have it as a goal. Therefore, all devotees can do it. While those who practice Zen, how many actually get to that platform of being situated, you know, perfectly, right? You know, I got a few people there. I mean, it's like, I think, in China, the Buddhists, you have the, what is it, how many arhats? 8 arhats or 16 arhats?
In China?
Yeah. You have the arhats?
Yeah, we have 8.
8, yeah. So that means 8 guys, we can say they made it. How many people in China? Right, so it's not a big percentage. You take 8 out of 1.2 billion, it's not a big proportion, right? But we're saying all devotees can come to that platform.
But how many? I mean, how many devotees can really attend that platform?
What do you really mean by really? And you're using the but again, meaning that you doubt that it's possible. So it's not a question on, oh, okay, so how many devotees are coming to that platform? But we're saying, but how many really come to that platform? Meaning, I don't think any come to that platform. It's probably not. We only have 8 guys, so, you know, you're definitely not going to get more than that.
Yeah, I just feel, I mean, sometimes devotees speak high, but they might not get that real.
Yes, but the point is the question high? Right? It means that a high point is made, but it can only be countered by another high point. Just because we have a lower point doesn't necessarily mean that counters it. You know. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you know, here it is.
At least there's,
you know, something. Okay. Yeah. Here it is. Okay. Okay, you have this solid gold Rolex watch. Okay. But that's nothing. You know, what's the importance of that? I have this, you know, quote unquote solid gold Rolex watch from USA in Hong Kong, you know, and put that there. Do they match? They look the same, but are they the same?
No.
So, the point is because we've used some intellectual aspects of logic doesn't mean that we have countered the argument. You know what I'm saying? Because the problem is we doubt the principle is possible. Not how is that? Since it should be, since attaining the position of liberation is so difficult for the non-devotees, why is it so easy for the devotees? That's the question. How many really get to that point? Because the point is, are you in a position that you're qualified that you would know that here is somebody on that platform? If you are, then that's another thing. But if we're not, then just having the doubt doesn't change the position of liberation. You understand?
Yeah, there's some system for.
Yes, no, but no, but you get. Yeah, wait, so you get what I'm getting at?
Yes.
You get? Okay. We're talking about a mentality here. Because the point is that Nama Bas in chanting the holy name, which is not pure chanting, that gives liberation. Right? So the point is you can be liberated and not know you're liberated. You understand? That's the point that's not caught. Is the devotee in the stage of Nama Bas is liberated. But he may not, due to habit, he may not act as he's liberated. He still, due to his habit of conditioning, still will see things and act as if he's conditioned. But technically he's not, he's liberated. So that mentality needs to be removed. So that's anartha nivritti. Right? So we come to the pure understanding. Right? So then you can say real is on that. We can say the really real is that we come to the platform of prema. And just about really real is on the platform of bhava, on the uttama platform. But the madhyama is counted as advanced. We just take it, okay, there's neophyte, then next to that there's the madhyama, and then way off there's the uttama. But actually, here's the neophyte, over there is the madhyama, and way beyond that's the uttama. So actually, the connection between madhyama and uttama is very close, and between madhyama and neophyte, that's where the big gap is. You understand? So we have to know how the point is. So advanced means, why are they advanced? Because they're fixed in seeing things in Krishna consciousness, fixed in being engaged in Krishna consciousness. That's what makes them advanced. But we want to take it from an impersonal point of view of, no, no, they're completely pure, they're squeaky clean, you know, you could rub on the sole and you get this nice sound, you know, like that. And no.
Well, it seems from the example of like Gopal Chappal speaking with Haridasa Thakur, that those who overestimate the position of liberation have a lot of trouble with these points.
Overestimate liberation, overestimate in logic. Because it doesn't logically make sense, and they put, you know, that as a goal, therefore then they can't. They can't see how it works. So they're just as sentimental and just as foolish as your common person who is sentimental and doesn't use intelligence. And in fact, as we discussed before, technically even worse, because they're supposed to be intelligent and they can't use it. Right? So on the material platform, you'll say, yes, they're more intelligent. But when you come to the spiritual platform, they're not. That's why you had the big Brahmin pundit and you had the cobbler. Who of the two was smart? The cobbler. You know, and then you had the assembly of great pundits, and you had that one Brahmin who couldn't read. Right? Lord Chaitanya accepted the one who couldn't read, as the scholar, and the other guys, as they didn't understand. Because the point is to please the Lord. We're thinking, no, to get knowledge, to get good at it, to get all that. That's the goal, that's the symptom. No, it's to please the Lord, get the mercy of the Lord. That's what the whole process is about. How do we get that? By getting the mercy of the devotee. How do we get that? By following the instructions that are given by the Lord through the devotee. That's it. All these other things, it's because these things are given, we follow them. That's why we do. And we're only because they please Krishna and the devotees. We're not doing it because they, how do you say, because it itself gives us. He's not chanting all 16 rounds sitting right there in front of the deities, you know. He's walking and chanting, so he can't, you know, how you say, be advanced and, you know, like that. So we have this idea, only this works. And of course, that only is whatever we're doing. You know, like that, you know, and the other person, you know, he chants at home, you know, like that while he's doing Facebook. So, you know, it's like, so then it's a matter of, you know, like, well, I'm not fanatic like those guys. I'm just natural, I'm balanced, I'm everything like that, you know. So whatever it is, the secondary that we use, we think that's the only thing. But the point is no, it's about pleasing Krishna. So the wide range of activities are there, like devotional service, there's 9 activities. So that means you could please the Lord through any of those. Right? And just taking, if you just combined, if you take one, then you have, you know, 1 out of 9. You have 9 different things. If you combine 2 of them, you get 81 different. So if you keep going, and then Ambarish is Ambarish? Using all 8, 9. Yeah. Like that. So then, you know, and then what's the proportion, what's the different aspects within them, and all like that. So like this, you get unlimited. That way, every devotee can be engaged. But the whole point is what they're trying to do is please the Lord through that engagement. It's not that doing that is what pleases the Lord. That's why sometimes we're trying to do something that is actually a recommended activity, and we're having so much trouble doing it. One, it may be Maya, just, you know, do you really want to do that? You know? And the other thing is that it may be our attempt to do that, we're not thinking about pleasing Krishna. We're thinking that just because I do that, therefore I'll be advanced. Mm-hmm. And so then we may get obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, there's a fruit of element. Or there's a mistake to think karma creates bhakti. You know, like this idea, oh no, but if we're, you know, we know management, we have organizational skills, then the, you know, everything will go wonderfully. Then we're saying karma creates bhakti. Mm-hmm. No, if you have bhakti, then our management will go nicely. It's the other way around. Is that good? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So stop here. Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada.